The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Talking with the Southern Oregon jury about Zelensky's little and Trump tirade and maybe some of what Congressman Bent said a little bit earlier this morning, too, when I had him on the show. Let me talk with Ed. Hello, Ed. How are you? Go ahead. Welcome.
Well, Bill, I'm sitting here listening to Bent. I'm sitting here listening to the Zelensky thing, all of these things. And it's a matter, to me, of perceptions. America, for as long as my life, I've remembered the struggle of the Cold War, the battle with Russia's influence, all of the different things.
We all grew up with that, Ed. Most of us grew up with that. You bet.
Yeah, and the reality to it is the ocean is immaterial because of the threat of nuclear submarines. It has been for generations. And to have him sit there and say, oh, we'll someday feel the threat. No, we felt the threat. We felt the threat throughout the world for however many.
Okay, that's a very good point, and thanks for making it. And what else did you want to kick in, if you don't mind?
Well, the other thing is that it's all interrelated, Bill, is how I want to say this. You talk about Trump wanting to put tariffs on Canadian lumber. Good, because that would force us to, instead of burning, you talked about this, instead of burning our forests, let's make them productive.
Because as it is right now, public lands are actually a burden on the taxpayer rather than being productive assets, right? I mean, it's really where we are right now, Ed.
You pay attention to the news reports, and what did we hear? Oh, Biden let out a bunch of money to all of these nonprofits and all of these NGOs. Well, that money filters down into Indivisible, and Ben's alluded to it when he said these are the same people, and they get in their cars and they drive to the next meeting. And you look at this thing, and this is a focused, how to say, professional group of people trying to influence our political landscape with leftist idealism. And, you know, so they try to show up publicly to convince that people want to live with smoke in the air and people want to burn our forests instead of harvesting.
And that we want to send billions to Ukraine continually, forever.
And then we want to send billions to Ukraine. So put the burden on us, make our air unbreathable, and look at what Canada did. Look at the reality of Canada. The past 2 years, every summer, they burnt to where the smoke was coming into our cities. This is an absolute absurdity that has to stop.
Ed, I couldn't have said that better. Thanks for making it, too. 770-5633. Monica, great to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning. About Zelensky and his little tirade. And one of the things that I caught a lot, I was just furious. I knew he wasn't going to sign it before he even got here to the United States.
Oh, you did?
He wasn't going to sign the contract.
Okay. All right.
And I told my neighbor, who's a real flaming liberal, she was all upset about it. And I just turned around and looked at her and said, he's not going to sign it. And she just stops. And I said, the way his attitude is, are you kidding me? And I just walked away from her because I didn't want to discuss it any longer. And I knew he wasn't going to sign it. And sure enough, as soon as he showed up, I saw him in his little war garb. And I thought, okay, this is going to be fun. And I knew what he was going to do. And sure enough, because he is so arrogant that he made the statement that really proved it to me, your people, words to this effect, your people need to defend my people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I came unglued.
Yeah. So you weren't fooled one bit. All right. Monica, thanks for sharing your thoughts on that, okay? Let me grab another call. I'm running over it. We'll get the news on in just a minute, then Outdoor Report with Mr. Outdoors. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Yeah, this is Richard Emmons with the Oregon Eagle, Bill.
Richard, a delight. How are you today, sir?
I'm fantastic. Yeah, a lot in the news these days. But I had a different take because I was taken aback when Zelensky said that thing about, you know, what we're going to feel in our oceans and so forth. Because
mm-hmm.
I look at this as like the deal was negotiated 5 days before. He could have signed it 5 days before. He would have gotten the deal with the U.S.
Well, this in essence was a planned blow up, maybe?
I think so. He was trying to shake us down for more money, and he wanted that security guarantee so that if we're in his, you know, in not almost at his country, in the Ukraine, you know, looking for minerals and manufacturing minerals and mining and all that, that we would put our troops, because he wanted a security guarantee. And he tried to renegotiate the deal with the master deal maker, President Trump. And Trump, see, he's the peace president. His objective is peace. And having continual war is not what he wants. And but for Zelensky, people forget that last May, his term ran out. He canceled the elections. He's not.
Well, so much for defending democracy, right?
That's right. I mean, we're defending democracy from somebody that shut down all the opposition political parties, all the opposition, you know, newspapers, TV, radio stations, so that only the government. And then we find out that our USAID is funding 90% of the Ukraine media, you know, from which we get our news. So I think the reality check for Zelensky is that Russia's already won. They've won the war. They just grind it out and they take back territory. You know, the, I mean, this, the talk about Europe going in, you know, Great Britain, they have more admirals than they have ships. You know, they could put together maybe 3,000 troops to send them into Ukraine. They're just a hollow shell. And
so you think that all this talk about Europe going in there, we're going to step up and defend Ukraine, is empty talk?
Yeah. No, well, I think it's bluster. But if they try to do it, like Trump has said to them, good, go ahead and do it. Put in, you know, peacekeeping troops there. Go for it. But that's not Article 5 under NATO. You know, don't go in there thinking that's going to draw the United States in. Because another way to look at this, Zelensky puts Ukraine first, all right? Putin puts Russia first. Trump puts America first. You know, Kim Jong-un puts North Korea first. The difference is that Russia is a nuclear power, a superpower. You know, North Korea has nukes. So you should play nice with people that have nukes.
Yeah, you have to have a little more deference to those who can vaporize you, in essence, right?
You think so.
That's reality. Okay.
That's the reality. And any war, direct war between Europe or the United States against Russia would rapidly escalate nuclear, because we simply, in the West, don't have the armaments. We don't have the industrial capacity to make the artillery shells and just the bullets.
Which is something that I have to say, when I've looked behind the scenes there, Russia does. Russia has concentrated on the stuff which is less sexy, but they produce a lot of artillery. And I mean a lot of basic artillery shells that actually make the big difference in those long, drawn-out ground wars, the grunt work, okay? Appreciate the call. And, Richard, thank you so much for checking in from the Oregon Eagle, OregonEagle.com. Great people there. It's 11 after 7. Mr. Outdoors standing by. We'll talk with him about the Outdoor Report. Also, the death of that wolf, the killing of a wolf. We'll get you that story, too.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Here it is, a Monday edition of the Outdoor Report, 716. And we have Greg Roberts from RogueWeather.com. Greg, by the way, we're going to go back to our Fridays starting this Friday. So it's going to be Friday for the rest of the year, I guess, until you take vacation at some point. I don't know, right?
Well, actually, usually what changes it up will be me getting out and doing the hunting activities in the fall.
All right.
So we'll pretty typically be on Friday unless, you know, something comes up, but that's not too typical between the outdoor shows and then when hunting season cranks up in the fall.
All right. Let's figure out a pretty good weekend over at Redding. You were saying it didn't take you long to get back. The weather has just been beautiful, but I guess we're back to sort of wintry conditions here over the next few. What do you say?
Well, yeah, no sort of winter about it. We're back to winter. But
oh,
yeah, Friday down in Redding, that was spectacular summer weather, and it was really interesting. My apparel that I took for the show went from summer apparel to winter apparel pretty much overnight, because Friday down there, mid-80s to near 90.
Really?
which on Saturday became pretty much mostly mid to upper 70s. And then yesterday down there, the highest I saw the temperature get, I didn't look to see what the official reported highs were down there yesterday, but the highest temperature I saw when I was checking current conditions, 54.
Okay, so what are we looking at here for most of this week? A little bit rainy today. We're going to get drying out. Is it going to be really wet? Is it just going to be snowy and pass levels and maybe up on top of Ski Ashland? Or what are we looking at here over the next few
weeks? Well, we're looking at winter, and okay. Winter's going to be hanging around. Remember way back in February when Groundhog Day happened, and Groundhog said 6 more weeks in winter. I said out here in this area with the La Nina really cranking up, and what we've seen historically, we actually can expect to double that. We're probably going to get more like 12 weeks of winter, which at the time I said that would have put us end of April, beginning of May. Mm. I don't see any reason to come off of that. And certainly looking at the, this is going to sound like a contradiction, but the shorter version of the long range outlooks, basically that 6 day to 4 week, everything is now dominated by colder than average, wetter than average expectation for conditions. We are definitely going to be seeing heavy snow develop in the mountains above 3,000 feet. The snow level is going to be traveling pretty much between 3,000 and 4,000 feet, depending on time of the day. In the overnights and mornings, it will be lower. In the afternoons into the early evenings, it will definitely be higher. But it's going to stay right there. I don't see anything at all that looks like valley floor snow will happen.
Okay.
That said, I have seen valley floor snow happen here in Medford into late April. Pear Blossom Parade coming up in April. I've definitely seen snow falling in Medford during Pear Blossom.
You know, Pear Blossom is
one of those years.
Pear Blossom is such an interesting time to gauge the weather, because there have been times I've done Pear Blossoms in which we had ice storms or, you know, hail on us and a bit of snow. Grapple, I think, is the term that you were using for some of that stuff. And I've had other times in which it was like 85, I swear, you know.
Those times, I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, I'm trying to remember exactly what year it was. It was somewhere in that 2007-2011 time frame. There was a Pear Blossom that was as warm slash hot as I ever remember seeing a Pear Blossom be. We got to 88 degrees in Medford on Pear Blossom Day.
Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't look like it's going to be that way, huh?
Though, big exceptions to the rule.
All right, so chances are, the way we're looking at the long-term forecast right now, still cooler and wetter than average is what we're looking at.
Okay. I wouldn't expect to see, you know, a prolonged run of days like what we were seeing Thursday and Friday last week. I wouldn't expect to see that until we get to May. And by a prolonged run, I mean more than 5 days of it, where it becomes a much better, well-established long-term pattern. You know, those three-day windows, when you can get them, boy, they're great. And it also proves something else that's bubbling up. And I cannot believe this. People are so polarized and politicized. They want to fight about everything.
Really?
I put up a post over the weekend talking about how much more daylight we see in March. The reason is not necessarily related to time change. Time change is academic here. The sun is going higher into the sky. We're going to be getting more daylight. It keeps moving higher during the month of March. We'll pick up about 100 minutes more of daylight during the month of March, and people went into full political program meltdown.
But, you know, the thing is, though, how is it controversial? Because what you're talking about is just a fact. I mean, right now I have to adjust the timers on my front yard lights that I have on timers because there is so much more sunlight now, and I have the lights kicking on at 5 o'clock or whatever it is for middle of the winter. How could this be controversial? I don't get this.
Everything, Bill, Everything is controversial now.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, being on the internet and social media especially, I'm really happy that most of this is being done by keyboard warriors, but you watch the reaction to a scientific post, and it becomes something that people online act like they want to die on that hill.
And now, are you talking about, are people arguing with you, and I know some of my friends that I disagree with him on, are they going after you with a biblical earth take on it or something else? What?
No, it's the something else. They're thinking I'm talking about time change. It's not time change. The sun moving higher in the sky has no idea.
Yeah, well, the time change, you know,
looking at and what?
Well, our setting of the clock, Greg, is just
human time. It's supposed to be.
Yeah, you know, having the clocks change back or spring forward in this particular case doesn't give us any more total daylight in the day. All it
exactly.
is just when we reference it. That's all. 4 o'clock becomes 5 o'clock.
Yep.
That's all. But it's not any different.
Oh, but people think this is a reason to go now. One of these days, though, something's going to happen, and it won't just be keyboard warriorism, because if they're expressing this online in the safety of anonymity,
mm-hmm.
with cutesy names like Flatten Hill, made up, so
uh-huh.
you don't know who they actually are.
Oh, you know, could you be dealing with bots? I've been dealing with a lot of bots on the...
I might be dealing with bots, but
yeah.
sometimes you look at profiles and go, okay, that's pretty obvious, that might be a bot. Then you look at some profiles, and you go, wait a minute, this doesn't really look to be a bot, because some of these fake profiles that I'm sure are people hiding to express thoughts they may or may not really have. Because let's be real, there's also a fair number of people out there who just enjoy working people up.
Sure.
They're friends with real humans I know.
Okay. All right. We'll set that aside here for the time being. So not controversial here, though. You will never get anybody yelling at you about the increasing levels of daylight,
well,
okay?
Yeah, people want to get into a screaming death match over science.
Well, because so much of science so much of science that is being reported, though, is somewhat politicized. All right. So let us go, though, to something which is actually, I think, a big deal. And this has to do with the killing of a wolf in eastern Oregon. And I was wondering if you could set the table. What happened over there in Lake County? Because this was a big deal. This was a wolf that was just munching through the herds, I guess, essentially, right?
Yeah, this was actually, it was very sad, but it was also really scary. One of the wolves out in northeastern Oregon that they collared, and his identifier was OR-158, he dispersed out of his pack, and I can't remember which pack he dispersed from, but he started roaming around all over a great deal of central and eastern Oregon. He got down into Modoc County in California, and that is where it looks like he may have killed the first livestock, in this case, calves. It is calving season right now everywhere. Even driving around here in Medford, you will see cattle out in the field, and you will see very obvious newborn calves. So this wolf, he started in killing newborn calves, and it is believed he started down in Modoc County. They're still working on that, but he came back north into Lake County. He got into the Valley Falls area, and he went on a killing spree. At this time, at the time of his death on Friday, he was confirmed for 8 calf kills, and he was suspected in 3 others in Lake County. He may have been responsible for the death of 14 calves in 2 states, in 2 counties, in the span of about 3 weeks.
Wow.
For any one wolf, that would be by far a record for what we've seen here in Oregon. you contacted me via email and said, hey, people are trying to get in touch with you. I want to make sure I send them the right email. Well, I sent you the email, and then within an hour, my message box started filling up with things from Lake County, from ranchers in the area. And they were sending me pictures and videos of 158. And when I saw those, it was pretty terrifying because that wolf did not care that people were there. They were getting very close to him. And by very close, I would estimate the one video sent to me, he couldn't have been more than 20, 30 yards away from whoever.
Yeah, that's not normal wolf behavior, though, is it?
Absolutely not. He did not care in the least. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, we've got a real problem on our hands. Well, then we did the outdoor show here in Medford. And Friday, I had people from Lake County coming over here to Medford and getting in front of me at the show and going, what are we going to do? And I said, well, what should be done is that wolf needs to be taken out.
And what's the controlling authority? Is that ODF&W? Or?
No. U.S. government, U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
U.S., okay.
And the endangered species law, the different levels that wolves will fall under here in Oregon. Lake County was in that highest protection zone. We had been in it in Jackson County for years that even problem wolves could not be taken out for killing livestock. And, you know, our wolves here in Jackson County, they were killing livestock, but they would exhibit classic wolf behavior that when confronted by humans, they try to put as much distance between them and
Yeah, in other words, the wolves would hit and get, in other words. You know, they'd get away. They wouldn't be hanging around. But, yeah, 158 was not that way then. So, now, I know you got in touch with Bent's office, and so eventually and then the permission was then given, right? Is that kind of where you're going?
I was talking to Congressman Cliff Bence's office here in Medford on Thursday on a different matter. Then the subject of the wolf came up, and I gave just blanked his name. Anyway, I gave him kind of the wolf resume for me, and I said, believe me when I tell you, this permission to take this wolf out absolutely has to happen.
He must have pulled a string or two then, the Bent's office, right?
We're never going to see the end of this with this animal if we don't. And here's the other thing. We don't want that animal getting loose into the breeding population, creating other wolves that would have these traits. The only solution here, the best thing that can happen for everybody is to take him out.
Right.
Next day, they got the permission to go ahead and remove him, and they had removed him within an hour of getting the legal permission to do it.
All right. Boy, it didn't take him long. Well, I guess they had a collar on him, right, so they knew where he was.
Well, they could had find a collar on him. They knew right where he was, but he definitely wasn't hiding. And so when the permission was given, the employee from U.S. Fish and Wildlife went out and had him down and gone within an hour.
Would they just shoot him? Is that what they do? Just like that? Or they dart him? Or what do they do?
No, they shoot him.
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. You're not going to relocate.
You're going to take him out. You don't want to have any doubt about it. And, of course, little bit of backroom information at the distance the U.S. Fish and Wildlife officer was at when he shot him. That wolf was just staring him down, and it was true can't miss, and it was one shot, instant kill.
Boy, I'll tell you, yeah, that's you got to take care of that. What causes a wolf to go in that direction and get totally?
No idea.
We don't know. Okay,
you kind of have to be a wolf to know, and that was the other thing that just had so many of us just stunned. We had not seen behavior like this from a wolf, not just in Oregon, but pretty much anywhere. Since reintroduction happened and they started spreading out over the landscape, this was completely aberrant behavior in the sense of how it would react when humans were right next to it.
All right. Hey, Greg, I appreciate the update then. And hey, thanks for the report, and we will have more. I guess we're back to our normal time on Friday, 7:10, like we used to do. And this is where it's going to be for the duration until hunting season. Okay?
Yep.
All right.
That's the expectation unless you go on vacation or something pops up for me.
All right. Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to go on vacation. I'll check with the boss and get back with you, okay? Thanks, Greg. All right.
It kind of feels that way with you sometimes.
Thanks, Greg. We'll see you later, okay? Greg Roberts, and he is at rogueweather.com, rogueweather.com. You can keep up on outdoors and weather and the climate and all the rest of it. Outdoor Report is sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. We appreciate that. And back to the normal time this Friday at 7:10.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters. Proudly offering Adrian Steel interior shelving packages, partitions, and the best ladder racks in the business. Integrate a bed slide or decked drawer system to boost your efficiency. Also featuring the largest selection of commercial fiberglass and metal truck canopies from leading manufacturers such as ARE, SmartCap, Century, and more. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and take your efficiency to the next level.
At Grover Electric and Plumbing, service is everything. To back it up, this comment from one of our Grover customers in Boise.
At Grover, they listen. We had an unusual problem, but they quickly put together a solution. Saved us a lot of running around and money. Boy, did we appreciate that.
This from a Vancouver customer.
After not getting the help and information we needed elsewhere, we heard about Grover. Glad we did. Great knowledge, great service. From now on, Grover gets all our business.
From Klamath Falls, this comment.
We are very regular customers at Grover with good reason. No matter the day, the time, the season, or how busy they are, we get the help we need, are treated respectfully, and served quickly.
If this sounds like the kind of customer service you're looking for, welcome to Grover. For a location near you, visit GroverElectric.com.
You shop Grover.
Just look at it.
Yeah, it looks great in the moonlight.
And talk about quiet operation. We're not waking up the neighbors.
So smooth and sleek. American Industrial Door knows their stuff.
Okay, it's my turn. Give me the remote.
Mom? Dad?
Yeah?
Are you gonna stop playing with the new garage door soon?
Go back to bed, sweetie.
If your garage door is keeping you up at night, it should be for all the right reasons. Visit AmericanIndustrialDoor.net.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
7:35, we'll check news here in just a moment. Some more time for some open phones and whatever's on your mind. A couple of interesting emails I want to touch about, especially when it comes to the homelessness issue here in Southern Oregon. We'll do that coming up. I'll tell you more then. I did not watch the Oscars last night, and it's just not my thing anymore. It used to be that Oscars were a big deal to me, and I would watch it. And I just haven't gone. I think the only movie that Linda and I went to see in the theater in 2024 was Reagan. It was a great movie. Loved it. Had a great time. Reagan was the only one we went to see in 2024, and it was not eligible for an Oscar because it didn't bow to the diversity, equity, and inclusivity. You know, all that thing. So it could never even get a hearing from the Oscars. So you kind of know where they're coming from. But I guess that a film that only has taken in $16 million, Anora, ended up getting the Best Picture Oscar. Now, Anora, from what the way it was described to me, is essentially a strip club. So, and I guess we're going to be talking about what's best about America, strip clubs and comedy and dramedy, or whatever the case might be. All right. So I guess everyone's going to be going to see Anora. I don't know. But the one thing I had to say, though, I had to smile when I heard Kieran Culkin, who won the Best Supporting Actor Oscar from that film. And it was great with the kids.
About a year ago, I was on a stage like this, and I very stupidly, publicly said that I want a third kid from her because she said if I won the award, she would give me the kid. It turns out she said that because she didn't think I was going to win. After the show, we're walking through a parking lot. She's holding the Emmy. We're trying to find our car. Emily, you were there, so you're a witness. And she goes, oh, God, I did say that. I guess I owe you a third kid. And I turned to her and I said, really, I want four. And she turned to me, I swear to God this happened, it was just over a year ago. She said, I will give you four when you win an Oscar.
Thinking it won't happen, right?
I held my hand out, she shook it, and I have not brought it up once until just now. You remember that, honey? You do? Okay. Then I just have this to say to you, Jazz, love of my life, ye of little faith. No pressure. I love you. I'm really sorry I did this again. And let's get cracking on those kids. What do you say?
I'm just glad to hear about someone having kids and not talking about how proud they are of having kids and then they're going transgender, which seems to be affecting a lot of Hollywood couples. You know, it's like, well, gosh, you know, I am so proud. I'm questioning my gender, and so are all my children. Yeah, don't tell me that's not being conditioned, but at least Karen Culkin just sounds like he just wants to have kids. God bless him, okay? It's 7:38 at KMED. This is Bill Meyer, and you're on The Bill Meyer Show.
Rule number one, if you're looking to sell a home, choose...
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED.
I appreciate you being here on KMED at 99.3 KBXG, 770-5633-770-KMED. By the way, I had an interesting conversation over the weekend on Facebook, and it's facebook.com/Bill Meyer Show, if you ever want just to follow that. And we'll put up issues of import. And I've been trying to spread more information. I mean, we've talked a lot about Senate Bill 762, you know, for weeks and months now. And there are some other things going on, though, that we have to keep on our radar. Speaking of Senate Bill 762, Saturday is going to be the, you know, the White City event that we've been talking about, which Josephine County Commissioner, and I'm sorry, Jackson County Commissioner Colleen Roberts will be there, Bob Hart, bunch of other people, and trying to get down and get these appeals in there at the last minute, get it done, get her done, and hopefully get this this whole thing thrown out, okay? But there was something going on in Medford. There was a $400,000 grant granted to the city, and they are doing a survey on transportation safety. And a lot of this stuff gets kind of swept under the rug, and the only people who end up weighing in on stuff will tend to be the spandex mafia, the bicyclists. This is a really, really big deal. Similar studies that have been paid for by grants or not paid for by grants have ended up leading to such stupidity that the county, that the council has gone into, such as road diets. We're going to do bump outs. We're going to do traffic calming and all this this other sort of stuff. And maybe even the 20-mile-per-hour downtown speed limit along with the cameras. And my concern is that the city of Medford has been doing a lot that has made going to downtown Medford punitive. And maybe this is all part of their climate-friendly, equitable community BS in which, well, we'll take care of the emissions. We'll just ticket so many people that nobody wants to show up. And then nobody wants to open a business. And then downtown Medford ends up just being, essentially the bum highway and everything else. I know I'm kind of painting and tarring with a broad brush, but there's a reason why the spandex mafia tends to get their road diets, because they show up and they take part in their process. I think the process is flawed, but nevertheless, this is the process. And so I have an article on KMED.com. I also put it on my Facebook page over the weekend. I did this also a couple of weeks, but the 28th is when the survey is over, and it's pretty easy to do. You go to this. In fact, if you go to my Facebook page, I have a link to the Transportation Safety Action Plan, and you can open up then a map of Medford, and you zoom in to particular areas that you think are troublesome, that need some love. And I did that over the weekend. I weighed in, did some, and by the way, you don't have to be a Medford resident. You could be someone from Grants Pass, Ashland, whatever it is, coming into Medford, and you're really irritated about something which is going on with our traffic system. Now, they're doing about this with safety. Well, I ended up zooming in on the downtown area where they ended up doing not only the road diets, but also the 20-mile-per-hour and then the punitive cameras, which have been ticketing thousands, as we well know. And you can actually comment on something like that through this. You bring it up and then, you're going to comment on. You click in the area that of your concern, and then you bring it up. Well, what is it? Do you want to, there's a comment on the infrastructure. Is it about motorist behavior? Well, for me, it's about the infrastructure concern. And I put in there other, and that the system is making it very difficult to go through downtown Medford, and that it's very punitive. I kind of did a comment like that. And a lot of other people are starting to do this too. Because this needs to go away. This idea that we will punish people going into downtown Medford will lead to bad things. And this whole idea that you have to try to bypass the downtown of a great city is just anathema. And the idea that the only way it's safe is if you're doing 20, I think is also wrong too. We have 25 mile per hour residential streets, for crying out loud. Now, I had them doing about 40 down my newly punched through residential street. So I'd put a little note on that. But go around there and talk about these areas of downtown or of the city which are causing of concerns, because it allows them then to prioritize what they're going to do. Now, you know that gangrene and the spandex mafia will put as many comments in there. Oh, we're having a problem where the bike lane ends here, and it's causing conflict with traffic. I even saw some of those comments like this. And this is where they start doing more road diets. This is how they do it, okay? This is why it's important that normies, and nothing against the spandex mafia, but the spandex mafia is trying to, really does want about one-fourth of the roadways taken up for maybe one-one-hundredth or less, one-one-thousandth of the traffic capacity. And it's usually only during the nice weather times of the year that it's really being used, you know, but yet these are permanent changes that end up being done. So I weighed in on that. There was another example of something that I weighed in on East McAndrews over by that, is it Medford Center? No, not Medford Center, but the one that, Bear Creek Center, the one that has the Bi-Mart in it. Everybody knows that shopping center, right? Well, you have the Poplar and East McAndrews light, and then there's an RVTD bus stop immediately outside the intersection, the moment you get past the intersection. The intersection fails all the time, anytime there's an RVTD bus there, because it's not stopping mid-block, it's stopping just outside the intersection. And so you have no way to get around it. And you get to the point where someone has a bicycle, someone has a wheelchair. It can sometimes be 2-3 minutes or more. And so it ends up gumming it up. It's a stupid place to have an RVTD bus stop. That's an example of something which could be changed relatively easily. And you could let the people know about it. And then you also have the other issue when people are trying to turn into that same shopping center. They're turning left, and the red light means that the next 10 cars go. And the intersection fails rapidly. And part of the reason for this is that they have such a steep approach where the road and the sidewalk meet. And you have and people are afraid of, bumping the bottom of their car going in and out of there. So these are the kind of things that you could mention. You could mention, bad behavior, an area that's being hit. You can comment on the infrastructure that they already have in place, whether it's good or not. I think the 20 mile per hour and the punitive road cams are bad if you're actually looking to get people into downtown Medford. But apparently it seems like the city doesn't want to. At least there are people that don't want to. Or do we turn downtown only over to the spandex mafia and the bums? I don't know. It's not the perfect way to get in touch, but it is something. It is part of it. And the gangrenes are going to be in that, and they're going to use it, and they're going to use it, and they're going to say, hey, look at what we've done. Look at all the comments that have come in that they want more of this. We want even more road diets. If you're not going to say something, again, your silence is your consent. All right? So I have it on my Facebook page. I have it on KMED.com about the transportation safety plan. It's in my Bill Meyer Show blog. Go to KMED.com, click on Bill Meyer Show blog, and it brings it up, okay? I just want to make sure that you weigh in, because you're always saying, well, where does this stuff come from? Where do all these intrusions come from? This is part of that process. And so when they have these things going on, you have to weigh in. You got to say something. 770-5633. All right? And by the way, everybody can weigh in. Don't Ashlandize Medford, for crying out loud. Ashland has enough problems. Let them deal with their problems. Let me go. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome. This is Bill.
Hello, this is Mark from Shady Cove.
Hello, Mark. What's on your mind today, huh?
Well, I want to know if you heard about a new house bill they're doing tomorrow. It's HB 3362 about the tire tax they're going to try to propose tomorrow, Oregon tire tax.
Yeah, I heard something briefly about that from the person doing that, HB 3362. Let me see if I can find that.
Yeah, it's Senator Bruce Starr. He's the one that we got on our computer this morning.
Yeah, let's see. What is it? Open government. And, of course, I can't bring it up.
Well, I got it. I got it down here. It's
Now, the thing is, though, it's relating to clean energy project requests for proposals. What is that, what the tire tax goes to pay for?
Well, it says funds would be entrusted to ODOT and reimbursed to mass transit and environmental programs via new tire pollution.
So in other words, we tax the people who use tires to pay for more RBTD buses clogging up your intersection. Got it. All right.
Right.
All right.
Well, I'm not going to road tax. You know, they're just putting it to wherever they want to put it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you got your comments in?
Oh, yeah. We did today.
Okay. Good. See?
I'm just hoping everybody sees this and puts their comments about no more taxes.
All right. Will do. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate that from Shady Co. Let me go to next person. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
Hello. You hear me?
Yes, I can.
I didn't get the white static noise.
Okay. No, we don't need to criticize the static noise. It's okay. You're here. You're on. We're together. Who's this?
All right. I just got two things. First off, is I missed actually where you were submitting your comment on the highway or the roads here in town, as far as the way they're shrinking them. Where were you going for that to post your complaints?
Okay. Well, it's about comments and it's a survey.
Okay.
And what you do is. Let me see if I can bring it up because I have the link on my face. Are you on Facebook by chance?
Yes, I am. I am on Facebook.
Okay, go to the Bill Meyer Show page, which is facebook.com/Bill Meyer Show. And I posted yesterday, and I also have it on KMED.com on my show blog, and it's called the Transportation Safety Action Plan, how to comment on that. But if you go to the Facebook post and you scroll down a little bit where the picture is, Transportation Safety Action Plan, you click on that, it takes it to the city website, and then you go down a little bit, and there's the map of the city, and you zoom in with your computer or laptop, whatever it is, and you zoom, and you find the areas of concern, and then all you have to do, in fact, you don't even really have to share a lot of information. And see, my concern about this is that it is not what I would call scientific survey of sorts, because all you have to do is click in and you can do as many comments as you want, which also means that the gangrene and the spandex mafia types can get their people and do as much as they want to push something with their agenda involved. Okay. So we have to be just as involved.
Pay your money. Taxpayer money, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Pay that.
Of course.
And you know, one other thing I wanted to say is, you know, and I know it's not conspiracy Thursday or whatever, but, you know, I noticed the way these traffic lights are, they get you to stop and go so much. I'm thinking it's because of that. Don't they have a tax, pretty high tax they charge for gasoline? And you get everybody in Medford and everywhere stopping and going over and over? Because these lights don't change properly anymore, if they ever did. You know, you hit a red all the time, you know, even when you should be a free-flowing line straight down, you know, like Crater Lake Avenue.
Yeah, it does seem that way sometimes. From what I've been told, I'm not a traffic engineer, and so I don't want to throw them under the bus necessarily.
But of course not.
I don't know if it is possible to maybe guarantee a smooth flow of traffic in more than just one direction, in which you could say, okay, everything going east is going to be given the priority, and the north and south, let's say, is going to stop. Maybe there is maybe they have ways to be able to do that. But I'm with you. It does seem like it is designed that it is always stop and go, stop and go, stop and go.
Oh yeah, it takes too long to get through town. You know, just than any other town I've been in.
Well, hey, all they have to do is give everybody enough speeding tickets in the downtown area, and then there's not so much traffic downtown. Maybe that's part of the predetermined outcome.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's going to be dangerous one day if we ever have an emergency and people got to get out of town.
Yeah, forget about it. It's not going to help anybody for sure. Appreciate the call. Thanks for making it. 770-5633. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill Michael Shaw.
Hi,
Happy
Michael.
Monday. A couple of things. One is I will be placing my comments in on the traffic study because I just the other day received my ticket for going through downtown on Riverside. And evidently, I did this in December, but they didn't know where I lived, so it finally caught up to me now, you know, months later.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be putting my comments in on that. But I wanted to really comment about the Wolf Street.
story with OR, was it 158, whatever his
name was. Yeah, OR 158 was shot and killed last week. Yeah.
Right. So that's really out of the norm, average actions on his part, because 14 calves in 3 weeks is not killing to feed hunger. That's just killing to kill.
Yeah.
There's just no way that one wolf is going to eat 14 calves in 3 weeks.
What is the normal diet or, you know, the wildlife requirement for a healthy wolf? I wonder. I don't know that. Do you know?
Well, I don't know the volumes, but that's just way too much, because they would be going after deer and other things along that line, because those are things they would find in their normal wild habitat versus going to a farm.
Mm-hmm.
So 14 calves is just way too much for one thing. That would be, I would think that 14 calves would feed easily three or four wolves over a three-week period.
Could be right about that. Have to look it up. Appreciate the call, Michael. Thanks for that, and get your comment in. Always appreciate that. Yeah, maybe just likes to kill. Maybe just likes to eat, though. Speaking of which, I wanted to give you a quick Charlie update before I go back to the calls. You know, Charlie, the alley cat that we ended up getting from the from the shelter a few months ago after Chester had passed away. Charlie is very food forward. I mean, very food forward. And so Charlie has turned into a fat tub. And we have now put Charlie on a diet. And I don't know if there's anybody else that has dealt with this. We have one thin cat, Matt, the Maine Coon, who is very lean. He's always been very lean. You can let him free forage, and he self-regulates. Charlie, if you have food in front of him, he will eat it. That's just all there is to it. And I'm trying to figure out, how do I keep Matt fed without having Charlie be overfed? We might have to have a conversation about that some morning, but we're both kind of scratching our heads about this. On the other hand, Charlie has gotten fat enough that it's having difficulty jumping up. Maybe I should just put all the food on top of a table or something like that and say, okay, Matt, there you go. There's your table. You can jump up here, even though you're 15 years old. You're old, but you can still jump. Show Junior how it's done. I don't know. Hi, good morning. Who's this? This is Bill.
Hey, Bill, it's Lynn.
Hey, Lynn, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. That's a problem with the cats. I think you have the right idea. Put some of this in the pie.
Yeah, make him work for it to the point where, oh, I can eat wherever I want as long as I can jump up high. All right. If you can't, I can't do it now. Well, you're going to have to work it off, I guess, kid. Here we go.
Hey, I just wanted to comment about Indivisible. I caught you talking about it briefly earlier this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what all was discussed because I ran out to the barn.
Yeah, well, most of it had to do with, it appears that the Indivisible types, as I term them, the gray ponytailed hissy fitters are out and about and essentially are taking over and destroying town hall meetings with Cliff Pence in Eastern Oregon. Now, I understand that they have a right to be heard too, but to just sit there and just yell and scream at a Congress critter for for the bulk of a meeting is not conducive to actually having a public meeting where everyone gets heard. That's all.
This is their MO. And I just wanted to point out, years ago, they did this to Greg Walden. And
I remember it well. I brought that up. Yes.
Oh, you did. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because he stopped holding public meetings. And I'm just hoping that they're funded by USAID or somebody, you know, and the money's getting cut off, because they're obviously communist shock troops and rent-a-mobs, and they're horrible human beings.
And the other aspect of this, though, is that we can't be quiet when they're doing this. It's like, sit down, let everybody be heard, you'll have your turn. You'll have your ability to do this. But
well, they would stomp their feet and yell and essentially try to shut down the meeting. And it seems to me the only solution to that is, I mean, if other people get up and yell, then everybody's just yelling. You need to get some security in there and remove them if they're going to do that.
Yeah, maybe that's where it's going to have to go. I mean, it's one thing to be, I mean, it's okay to be angry and people get, kind of emphatic sometimes during these meetings. And I get that. But you do not have the right. You do not have the right to destroy the public meeting, which is what they're trying to do.
And yeah, and that is what they do, and it's obvious. They all get together and start stomping their feet and yelling. And I think when that happens, they need to leave.
And I would also dare say that even though I'm supportive of the people that were out criticizing Senator Jeff Golden, that public meeting at the public library was right there on that edge, kind of like of disruptive, to the point where you don't let anybody talk, you know?
Well, all of us should be civilized. We can't have a country, can't have a state, we can't have a community if the way we're going to operate is by trying to shout down the opposition. Okay. And shame on us when we do that.
Agreed. Appreciate the call. But on the other hand, we don't have to sit and take it either. That's the other thing. It's like we don't have to take the abuse. We don't.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call there, Lynn, as always. Couple minutes after 8, KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Dr. Powers joins me. We're going to be talking about how some of our towns were formed here as where past meets present. And first one we'll be talking about, Wairika. Them gold, there's gold in them thar hills and river.